The steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. Hi, I'm Tom Baker, host for Law and Gospel here on Worldwide KFUO Radio on this Monday, June the 22nd in the year of our Lord, 2015. And I can happily say I actually walked down the new sidewalk entering into the International Center of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod here in St. Louis, 1333 South Kirkwood. It's a beautiful sidewalk, and I left my imprints here and there just so down through them. No. It was clean. It was solid, and I just missed the trees. But they tell me some new trees are going to be putting up. By the way, we had a wonderful time at the Issues Etc. conference Friday and Saturday. We had the opportunity to meet a lot of people. Normally, everyone selling products is upstairs in the narthex, but they didn't have a room for everyone. So I had a choice. I could be right when people came in the door, or I could go downstairs in front of the cafeteria. I chose the cafeteria because nobody could get food without going by my table. And I told people that you're not allowed to eat unless you buy something. So we did very well, I tell you. I thank Issues Etc. for that. Great opportunity. And I'm sure Todd will be talking quite a bit about the speakers as well as other things that are coming up in the future. By the way, I was in Clinton, Illinois, and Chester, Illinois, over the weekend on Sunday, two places. I almost missed the first service. I left a half hour earlier than I should have, but there was a huge accident on Highway 270 coming out of St. Louis to go over the Mississippi, and they actually took us off the highway. I guess I didn't quite see it because we were up in the air going along the side of it, and was unable to see just what had happened. It looked like there was some overturned vehicle there. And then when I got to Springfield, Highway 72, only one lane was open. And so we went down to 45 miles an hour. I got to the church 1 minute before the service was to start. So we were about 4 minutes late, but had a wonderful time with the people, good food afterwards, and also at the other congregation. Just a great group of people there in Illinois. This week, I'll be preaching at Emmanuel Olivet Saturday at 5, and then Sunday at 8 and 10:30. Our task on Mondays, and this is looking at the fifth Sunday after Pentecost, is to take a look at any of the readings, Lamentations, 2 Corinthians, and Mark chapter 5. I'm going to be preaching on Mark 5, so I thought I would take a look at Lamentations. The steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. Now, I tell you, we're here, of course, where terrible riots broke out, of course, in Ferguson. And what a difference in South Carolina, where relatives of the individuals who were shot were talking about forgiveness for that young man who was obviously controlled by Satan during that time and giving in to the whims of Satan. But it was really quite a difference. One could suggest the steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. Well, is his love not ceasing when these people had this terrible event that occurred in their church during their Bible study where somebody walks in and shoots to death 9 parishioners? How can we say the love of the Lord never ceases? Well, because we need to be careful what the love of the Lord is. The love of the Lord is not a promise from the Lord that nothing bad will ever happen to you. But that's really how a lot of people think about it. I mean, how many times has a pastor been approached and say, "Pastor, this is a terrible thing that happened to me. What did I do to deserve this?" Well, the fact of the matter is that in Lutheran liturgy, one of our confessions indicates that we deserve nothing but temporal and eternal punishment. So how can somebody say, "What did I do to deserve something else?" No. The steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. For example, let's just take a parent. Does the love of a parent towards a child cease when the child is disobedient? You tell a child that he needs to eat all the food on his plate and he doesn't want to eat peas, maybe. For some reason, I never did like them until mom began to put a good sauce on them. Then I could, devour them. So I've learned that any food I don't like, I just put sour cream on or something like that. And boy, it tastes good then. When I was in Novosibirsk in Russia there for 3 weeks, the place I stayed was kind of a dormitory, but they had a cook. And boy, did they have a lot of sour cream because they made some of the best soup that I've ever had. It was just a delicious meal. I was like looking forward to going to the meals. Any rate, the steadfast love of the Lord never ceases, just like the parent's love towards a child never ceases. Now, we have to look at it from the point of view of the parent. Remember, one of the points I want to make again and again, that when we talk theology, we are not interested in your views of theology and what you think is happening, because you're only going to operate on the basis of your experience. Instead, we're interested in God's view. So, a child may look at his parent who says, okay, because you were late coming home for dinner, you're not allowed to watch television. And the child says, you don't love me anymore. No. In fact, wonderful love from a parent to a child will result in discipline. Why? Because we want to train a child up in the way that he or she should go in order that they may not fall into gross and manifest sin when they become older. This is a wonderful example of true love. And what child never said to himself, boy, when I get children, I'm not sure going to treat them like that. And then the child does get married, has children, and guess what? He treats them the same way that his parents did, if he truly loves them. The steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. Now, the next part is important to understand. His mercies never come to an end. Now wait a minute. If mercy means that you do not get what you deserve, how come you're being disciplined by God? Well, we need to make a distinction between the two kingdoms. The temporal kingdom, the political kingdom, the secular kingdom, is different than the kingdom of the spiritual, of the church. In other words, in the temporal kingdom, you do pay for the consequences of your sin. You go over the speed limit, and the judge is a member of your congregation. You can't look at him and say, I repent of my going over the speed limit. And he says, oh, okay, well, then you're forgiven. Goodbye. No. Well, what does it mean that these folks in South Carolina, relatives of those who were killed by this young man, that they forgive him? Are they saying that therefore they don't feel that he should be punished? No. Forgiveness has nothing to do with the temporal realm in the sense of whether you should be punished or not for a crime. He probably should get death as punishment, because it was clearly planned, and they're getting more and more information that he was even talking to other people about doing this. So where is God's mercy? If he comes to faith and repents of what he has done, that he is sorrowful over it and recognizes that he really not only hurt those people but hurt Jesus Christ, then God will be merciful to him in not giving him the eternal death that he deserves. And we can't look at God and say, oh, that's terrible. How can you let him off? God isn't letting anybody off. Because, of course, he had his own son take the punishment eternally for all of our sins. So, if you're a Christian judge and somebody comes before you and asks for forgiveness and they truly are repentant, a Christian judge could take that criminal into his courtroom and into his office and say, I forgive you in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. And then take him back into the courtroom and sentence him to death. That is not a contradiction of what God is doing. He's merciful when it comes to his spiritual growth. There is no mercy or forgiveness in the temporal kingdom. So his mercies never come to an end. Is that he is not going to hold you accountable eternally for your sin, but you will pay temporally for that sin. There's no way out of that. In fact, those mercies are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. Now, why the morning? Aren't they new in the afternoon? Well, when you get up, you may be facing a day that you're not looking forward to. In fact, I was surprised the large percentage of individuals who do not look forward to going to work. Boy, I tell you, I'd get another job. I just always, when I get up in the morning, and it doesn't matter how much sleep I had. Last night, boy, I just had some thoughts from the Issues Etc. conference, and so I was doing all kinds of stuff and went to bed about 4 o'clock, I think, and then up at 8 in order to get here by 9:30. But I wasn't tired at all. Because when you have your head filled with theology, number one, it's hard to go to sleep. But number two, you'll look forward to waking up in the morning because you can implement that theology. That is, you can talk about it. That's what it means. It's new every morning. That God, his love to us never ceases. Great is your faithfulness. Now, what does that mean? How do you understand that God is faithful to you? Well, let's talk about the opposite. Anytime you want to know what something means, think of what the opposite would be. Well, that he'd be unfaithful to you. What does that mean? Well, it means that he never breaks his promises. He's faithful in the same way that we have faith. When we talk about saving faith, we are not talking about that we believe Jesus existed or he was born of the Virgin Mary or anything else in the Apostles' Creed. That's not saving faith, to believe those things happened. No, saving faith is that we believe that because those things happen, our sins have been forgiven, that we are a member of the family of God. So therefore, he is faithful in keeping his promise. That's why when particularly Lutherans are asked, how do you know you're saved? We can say, I am baptized. It's kind of like going to a child and saying, how do you know? And it was somebody who wasn't born into the family, and you ask him, how do you know you're a member of that family? And he can say, I am adopted. See, he grasps onto that piece of paper because that's all the evidence he needs to have to know that he's a member of the family. So also with us. What's a piece of paper we grab onto? Our baptismal certificate. Dr. Wallace Schultz, who does wonderful work in the Synod and also puts out the Good News magazine, will often talk about the importance of his baptism. I believe he has his baptismal certificate framed, and it's up on the wall so he can see it. That's something we all ought to be doing, because it's not the act of baptism that you need to cling to, as it is the promises that God has made. Well, what promises? Well, you just scripture interpret scripture. At the Pentecost sermon, what did Peter say? When they ask him, what shall we do? Be baptized. That's a passive, by the way. That's not something you do. It's something that happens to you. And then you get two gifts. You get the gift, for sure, of the repentance of sins, forgiveness of sins. I meant to say remission, not repentance. And you get the gift of the Holy Spirit. Which means what? Well, your body now becomes the temple of the Holy Spirit. It's reasonable, therefore, for you to receive the Lord's Supper. Because apart from your body being the temple of the Holy Spirit, the early church would never give the Lord's Supper to anybody until they had that Pentecostal baptism. So, when we talk about God being faithful, verse 24, therefore, expands what that means. It says, the Lord is my portion, therefore I will what in him? I will thank him. No, I will hope in him. If politicians want to get elected, they often talk about hope for the future. In fact, sometimes they don't have to give those many details. And then when you get them elected, all of a sudden that hope isn't the kind of hope you were looking for sometimes. But hope is a powerful word. Well, what does hope mean? It means that things are not really the way they are. It's not so much that as you look into the future, things are going to get better. Because here on earth, they may not. Just talk about the many, many Christians overseas with ISIS who are being put to death because of their faith in Jesus Christ. But can they have hope in him? Well, that's really what South Carolina was all about. The funeral indicated the hope that they have because of Jesus Christ. That yes, they may have been sitting in a pew listening to a Bible study, but the next moment they were before the throne of God in the Spirit. Because their hope of salvation had come true. Hope is therefore trusting that God will keep his promises. That's why we hope in him. That's why Lamentations 3 says, his mercies never come to an end. Verse 25 kind of expands on that. The Lord is good to those who wait for him, to the soul who seeks him. Now, is that talking about that unbelievers can therefore seek the Lord? No. It's talking about Revelation says, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice, I will enter. Only believers have the power and the ability to hear the voice of God. Unbelievers cannot. And the fact is, just ask any unbeliever who does believe in some kind of God, what kind of God they believe in, and it won't be anything like the true God of the Bible. Because they can't hear him. They need to have ears of faith. And that comes about, how? By telling the gospel promises. Now, I don't know why God works that way, but for some reason, when people come to hear the gospel of Jesus Christ, why he died on the cross, the reason he rose from the dead, guess what? The Holy Spirit creates a faith that is a trust and hope in those promises. And therefore, the believer is always seeking out Jesus. Now, sometimes we seek him out in ways that are not possible. I can't tell you how many times I have been asked a question because I'm the pastor and I have no answer because the question being asked isn't found in the Bible. I've had people who are going through a tough time in illness ask, well, should they take this medicine? Should they not? I have no answer to that. Instead, use the people that God has put in command, other doctors, second opinions, and then God will show you the way. You'll finally come to a point and say, oh, yeah, I understand that now, and so this is the way I'm going to choose. But you know, you don't have to worry about what you're going to choose because God says he's going to work out all things for you. He is good to those who wait for him, to the soul who seeks him. And it says, it is good that one should wait quietly for the salvation of the Lord. Now, the word salvation here in the Hebrew also can mean health. It's a similar meaning if somebody gets more healthy. But you see, we're living in a turmoiled world where the devil, our flesh, and the world are always tempting us. But as we wait quietly for the salvation of the Lord, God does bring us help. How many times have you gotten up in the morning and said, I'm not going to get through this day, and you're still sitting here? Because the salvation of the Lord does come about. In other words, verse 31 of this is really important. The Lord will not cast off forever. Even when he was angry at some of his best friends, Peter, get thee behind me, Satan. The sons of Boanerges, who wanted Jesus to bring lightning down upon the unbelievers. Yes, he was not happy with their attitude because he wanted to show love to all people. There's no doubt that we need to emulate Jesus when he does say, "Get thee behind me, Satan, or your father is the devil," which he said to some of the religious leaders. We do also need to say those things, especially in regard to so-called pastors, and I call them so-called because they obviously are not pastors of Jesus Christ, but of their own whims and desires and appetite. I believe we're going to be talking about one of them on Wednesday. He had an article in our St. Louis Post-Dispatch about why we need to welcome homosexuals into the church. And the devious way in which the devil had him write that article, you need to be aware of this. Because if you're not aware of how the devil works, these white lies can lead you into thoughts and practices that are contrary to the will of God. So that'll be on Wednesday's Insight. Now, tomorrow we're going to be taking a look at the hymn In the Very Midst of Life with Mark Smith. And this time I remember he's not going to a convention. So last time I was wondering where he was until I remembered that. But God willing, he'll be with us tomorrow. The Lord will not cast off forever. He didn't cast Peter off forever. In a sense, Peter left him, particularly in his denial, three times. "I don't know the man," when Jesus was on trial. And then later, Peter wept bitterly and repented of his sin. And there, unlike Judas, who was only sorry for the consequences and his own self-interest ambitions, Peter was truly sorry for what he had done to Jesus. And that's why the Lord did not cast him off forever, but "Feed my sheep, feed my lambs." Yes, at times, the Lord causes the grief to come to you. But listen what follows verse 32. "He will have compassion according to the abundances of his steadfast love." He will have compassion. You know what the word compassion comes from? It's two Latin words. Passion is kind of suffering, and cum is with. So what it's saying is that he will have a suffering with you. It's kind of like a parent. Wow. Somebody ends up having their child have to go to surgery, and the parent feels so much for that child, wishes they could switch places with him. That's what true compassion is. It's a having of suffering joined with your beloved child. Well, that's the way God is towards you at all times. He so loves you that he will not cast you off, and he will have a compassion according to the abundance of his steadfast love. And there's so many verses that's talking about. Like, you'll never get more of a temptation that you're able to endure as you stay in the Word of God. God will supply you with all that is necessary to get through that particular problem. We have a wonderful God. And if you had attended the conference of Issues, etc., God talk was all over the place as we spoke about the mercies of God, the grace of God. By the way, I will be on Issues, etc. This afternoon for the Sunday school lesson. I have that privilege once a week, and I believe it's going to be this afternoon. And between 3 and 5, normally it's around 4:30. And we're going to be talking about God's deliverance of Israel. Now, they were delivered, in a sense, when they didn't deserve to be delivered. We're going to talk about that. But to see, why were they delivered? Because God had made a promise to Abraham. "Therefore, great is your faithfulness." When we're talking about the faithfulness of God, we're talking about the faithfulness of his keeping his promises to you. So therefore, we need to really understand that from a biblical point of view, we don't want to look at the scripture from our point of view. We want to look at it from God's point of view. I've often said this. What is the purpose of a Bible study and a sermon is to get you to think like God. Because by nature, you do not think like God. That's really a shame. By the way, Concordia Seminary, they gave me this to announce. features Reverend David Lewis, Saturday, August the 8th, talking about Jesus and the law in the Gospel of Mark. So we're going to be having that opportunity. The cost is $20 per person. All you need to do, register before August 3rd. And the phone number to do that is 314-505-7286. By the way, I am filled through October on Sundays, but I still have opportunities on Saturdays or during the week in the evening to do seminars. So if at all interested, give me a call at 1-877-267-1962. I'm Tom Baker. Till tomorrow with Mark Smith. God bless.
Listen to Law and Gospel each weekday at this time on Worldwide KFUO. For a contribution to the program, make your check payable to Law and Gospel and mail it to Pastor Tom Baker, Post Office Box 28910, St. Louis, Missouri 63132. You can call toll-free at 1-877-267-1962 or email lawandgospel@lawandgospel101.com.